Hello, lovely podcast people. I hope you are well. Today's episode is about branch chain amino acids. Now, it's come about because I just got a few questions about branch chain amino acids, BCAAs, from now on, so I don't keep stumbling my words, in close succession. And I thought it's quite an easy podcast, so I can just get it done, hopefully, in not too long. Just before this, Sarah said, and I said, I'll see you at 1:15. She said, it's not going to be 45 minutes. So she has faith in me that this is going to be quick. But yeah, it's going to be what they are, what they do, what they don't do, myths, and when they might be helpful, all in one episode. So they're a bit of a funny one. You know, I did do a question box about this, and lots of questions were similar. So I will hopefully be answering most of those just naturally by talking about BCAAs. And the funny thing was, most people were like, well, aren't they just a load of rubbish? And I suppose in many, many ways, the myths and the supposed benefits and purported, Alexa, what does purported mean?
The adjective purported are usually defined as reputed or claimed.
Claimed, alleged. Yeah, good word. It's such a good podcast, this, isn't it? You get some grammar stuff, you get some innuendos, you get a little bit of nutrition information. Anyway, so the purported claimed benefits are just huge, and they really, really, really do not play out in the real world. So, super quickly, what are the BCAAs, branch chain amino acids? They are three amino acids, and they are three of the essential amino acids. So I'll be talking about those, the nine essential amino acids. And the essential amino acids are the ones that that are essential for us to consume to be able to make proteins in the body. If we don't have one of those amino acids, we run into issues. We can't make proteins properly. So I'm not going to go into this too much, but you have these discussions around complete proteins. And, you know, if a protein is deemed complete, it means that it has enough of the nine essential amino acids in it to be deemed good enough to essentially, I suppose, live on to be creating the different proteins that we need in the body. So don't just, when I say protein, don't just think muscle. You know, you're thinking about all different things that we are creating in the body, neurotransmitters in our brain, immune cells, all of these different things. Your hair is keratin protein. Don't just think muscle. So, you know, what are they? Leucine, isoleucine, and valine are the names of the three branch chain amino acids that we're really talking about here. Leucine is kind of the most highly regarded, famous, interesting, because leucine independently stimulates protein synthesis, so building of proteins, and therefore, you know, in recent years it's gained lots of interest. And so you're going to have to, I suppose, in a way, think about different things as I talk, as in I will try and be super clear when I'm talking about leucine versus the branched chain amino acids versus the essential amino acids versus complete proteins like whey protein, which unfortunately sometimes in the studies or in you know, a magazine, online magazine or handheld magazine, is that what it's called? Physical magazine, you will get people going. And one of the myths, actually, I just did a quick Google just to see if there's any myths that were about in like Men's Health, in, was it Men's Health? Someone was like, oh, branched chain amino acids for weight loss. And then you look at the studies, and then it's like high protein diets that are high in branched chain amino acids, or, you know, a protein supplement high in branched chain amino acids, i.e. just whey protein, not a protein powder that's maybe lower in the branched chain amino acids. And I'll come on to some of that stuff with regards to things like vegan proteins and vegan diets, which is one area that's maybe worthwhile a very brief discussion. And lots of your questions were around that. So what do they do? They do all sorts. And I suppose you could get really technical, which I'm not going to, because that's not what I want my podcast to be about, of all the different things that the branched chain amino acids, these individual amino acids do, what they're necessary for, which pathway do they work in. And it's pointless, because it's the most I really want you guys to think about the branched chain amino acids or the essential amino acids or just amino acids in general is they are, think of them like bricks. Now, the bricks that we use to build other proteins, amino acids are building proteins. They're like the building blocks. And, you know, it's kind of like going, well, you know, what do they build? It's like, well, they, you know, bricks build lots of different things. They would build little walls, big walls, houses, fire pits, and other stuff, offices, hospitals, okay? Lots of different things. And in a way, I suppose, not thinking of it necessarily as just bricks, but almost like the raw materials for building stuff. And that analogy will help me explain later some of the claims that are made, because essentially people going, you know, take branched chain amino acids and this happens. And it's a case of, yeah, but do you need to take a specific supplement? Is the supplement providing something outside of what you would already achieve by eating a source of protein in your diet, some meats, some fish, eggs, etc.? Is there any point in supplementing those three amino acids above and beyond just eating some protein or drinking some protein or whatever? Anyway, so I just wrote down some of the myths. Yeah, weight loss myths, ridiculous. I've already kind of mentioned that. It's just, there's no mechanism by which, you know, even something like someone going, you know, consuming whey protein, people are more satiated and their 24-hour total energy intake goes down subconsciously, therefore they'll help with weight loss. You know, it's not directly revving up your metabolism. It's not directly making you burn more fat, you know, whatever that really means. It's this kind of indirect effect that might help with fat loss. With branched chain amino acids, it's even less of the case. They're not, you know, a weight loss supplement. And the main one, I suppose the other one I'll just mention is the idea that they might help with fatigue. There's something called the central fatigue hypothesis. And the idea that by taking branched chain amino acids, we would basically switch off, you know, our brain perceiving fatigue. And therefore, in endurance events, for instance, we might be able to keep going for a bit longer. And it doesn't seem to be the case. That's just one that I'll mention. And I've kind of said, are they necessary as a supplement? Are they doing anything extra in any of these scenarios? The main one that I suppose the biggest industry, the multi-million, don't know, hundreds of million pound, dollar, whatever industry that they are, is around exercise, training, muscle damage, building muscle, recovering from exercise, whatever. And again, I will say up front that realistically, in 99.9% of scenarios, they're useless. They're not doing anything. They don't. Essentially, the supplementation of branched chain amino acids is just counterintuitive. And the reason being, and I suppose where some of these myths have come from, is that when you supplement, and specifically it's leucine, as I mentioned earlier, one of these three branched chain amino acids. When you supplement with leucine, branched chain amino acids, whatever, you, and I'm going to use these kind of building materials analogy for you. It's like you're giving orders to the body. You're saying, or giving orders on a building site, go build that house, that protein. And the problem is when you're only giving, so there's a paper actually that I'll link that talks about this, I think. Is it that paper? Anyway, I'll link you to this paper by Wolf. And I think it might talk about, yeah, it does, post-absorptive state. I'm what I can kind of picture the subsection in my head. But it's, and this is what I want to talk about briefly, is this supplementing with branched chain amino acids alone is literally pointless when it's in this post-absorptive state. So i.e. kind of fasted, wake up in the morning, I'm going to get myself anabolic, take BCAAs. Mid-afternoon, I've not eaten for a couple of hours, I'm going to take, you know, BCAAs. Again, probably not useful. And there's no evidence, as far as I know, that's ever been published that people are gaining more muscle. You know, when it's like protein matched, I'll just kind of mention that, that anyone's gaining more muscle by supplementing with branched chain amino acids. So we, you know, it's a different topic altogether, really, talking about, and I've done posts on this. If you want to go find the muscle gain post I did on Instagram, which has, you know, been very useful for people, it seems. But the idea that we consume protein and then we have this period where we are in an anabolic state, and then it takes time for things to go back to baseline, and then you stimulate stuff again. So taking BCAAs alone, essentially what you're doing is you're going, go and build that house, but you're only giving three materials, three amino acids, out of a minimum of nine that you need, because then we would need to kind of synthesize the other amino acids. But we can make those, which is why they're not essential. But you're only giving essentially a third of the raw materials you need to build that thing. So you turn up, okay, let's build. Oh, we haven't got, we've only got bricks, but we also need some wood, and we also need some cement, and we also need whatever connects bricks together. Mortar? No, I'm making stuff up. Anyway, I did an analogy before, and I did have like a guy who was like a builder or in construction or whatever, saying, yeah, you were right on whatever you said. So that was nice. But hopefully you get the point that I'm making here, is that by giving, so this has led to I think the Wolf paper is about 2017. And when that came out and it said this stuff in quite plain language, then people might, were going, okay, well, I'm going to supplement with essential amino acids. Now, straight away, that is more intuitive. There's more argument for doing that. BCAAs, really, it's just pointless. I remember times, people, I'm waking up, taking my BCAAs, then training. Bad idea, silly thing to do. But then even people, there was, if anyone remembers Poliquin, lots of his dumb theories have died out, thankfully. One of them was supplementing with 1 gram of fish oil per percentage of your body fat. That was quite an astounding claim. Anyway, but he, and again, lots of his lackeys, is that? Alexa, what is a lackey? I
think it's like, according to Wikipedia, lackey is a song by Jason Mraz. Oh,
Alexa, stop. Anyway, just his...
I didn't hear that.
Alexa, please stop. I did actually have someone contact me, Martin, please stop saying Alexa during your podcast. It's like telling me what to do. No, I won't do that. Other people going, that's hilarious, you set my one off. But her telling me to stop doing it. No, you joker. Imagine that. Calling up Ofcom. I've got a complaint to make. On the Brit Awards, they said, anyway, whatever, comparing myself to Brit Awards. So he had people consuming, I can't remember like the exact dosages, but his lackeys, one of them, a big London personal trainer Muppet, famously quoted, someone said, how many branched chain amino acids should I be taking a day? And he's the verbatim, I'll try and find the tweet, as many as you can afford. Was his response. My goodness, what? Just, oh, man. Anyway, so where was I? Yeah, taking them literally between sets. And one of my employees, Dom, was saying, back in the day, he was supplemented with like branched chain amino acid capsules, BCAA capsules, between sets based on this. We've all been there and done silly things, and that was his one. And again, even adding branched chain amino acids to shakes after training, after whey protein shakes. The whole point is we do need an amount of leucine. Realistically, it seems to be leucine, but there's probably some interplay with having enough of the BCAAs and then having enough of the EAAs, maybe for the most anabolic effect that we can have. But there's just no point. So jumping ahead to, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try and stay on track. But there's just no point. If you have adequate leucine from a complete protein source that's giving you the other branched chain amino acids, the other essential amino acids, and an adequate protein, you've got everything you need. There's no extra boost that you're going to get from it, as long as you've got adequate to begin with in the first place. And again, what's adequate, I'll just say, is, you may have heard me talk about this before elsewhere, but we're talking about some people will use these absolute values, which I just really don't like, 2 to 2.5 to 3 grams of leucine in whatever meal feeding you're having. But it just, we don't, you know, okay, is that the same for a 50 kilogram guy and a 100 kilogram guy, you know, guy or girl? Probably not, because the body composition, the muscle mass, the size of the body, etc., is so different. And, you know, we have got some research on training different volumes of muscle mass in a training session and how that causes differential responses. So really, it's about extrapolating forward where the research hasn't gone yet. But it's something like, if we just look at protein, really, and go, if I'm consuming a good, high-quality protein source. Now, actually, do you know what? I'll just say the amount of leucine you need is probably around 0.03 grams of leucine per kilogram of your body weight. So if you're 80 kilograms, 0.03 times 80 is 2.4, I think. I hope that's right. Yeah, 2.4 grams of leucine. And you won't see that quoted anywhere. There's no research on that. But that's essentially extrapolating the data on the amount of complete protein you need to consume, with a rough percentage of that protein generally coming from leucine, a rough percentage being around 8 to 10% leucine. Okay, so I've done the maths, I've done the extrapolation. Take what you will from it. So anyway, you need about that much leucine, and then everything's done. You don't need to then supplement with more branched chain amino acids. You don't need to. You don't need to take it as a supplement. It's not going to help you. And actually, it might be detrimental. So in studies where they have infused amino acids into the bloodstream, you get this initial spike in muscle protein synthesis and this signaling. But it decreases protein turnover. And actually, I will talk about that and how that might be something that's detrimental to training adaptations, getting stronger, because you're essentially changing the situation of wanting to remodel muscle into, you know, repairing the muscle, making your muscle better for performing the lifts or whatever you're wanting to do. So this idea of supplementing during training or take it. And then there's this idea of, and I haven't seen many people doing this of late, but sipping branched chain amino acids all day long, like having, you know, oh, I like flavoring. One lady actually did message me, you know, I just use branched chain amino acids to flavor my shakes, my water. I'd probably advise against that, because they're not inert. Then there is a potential, you know, there's no likely benefit other than the taste. But I mean, I don't know if you've heard of squash or, you know, other stuff, you know, electrolyte drinks, whatever, but not necessarily an amino acid drink, because we have what's called this refractory period. So this is where there might be an actual drawback, a detriment to consuming branched chain amino acids, in that when you want to build muscle, repair muscle, recover from exercise, etc., you consume protein, which contains your leucine, your branched chain amino acids, and it stimulates, you know, your muscle protein synthesis goes up. So you stimulate, it goes up. Then, after a time, and this is our refractory period, it goes back down. And I think that there's another refractory period that lots of people be aware of that goes well with this, but you know, you stimulate it, you get it up, it does its thing, and then it goes back down. And then you stimulate it again, and it goes up. You know, you can't just go again straight away. I know some people can actually, but that's another topic. But in general, you have this refractory period, cooling off period, until you can go again. So by taking BCAAs, you are not letting it go down again. Now I'm thinking BCAA is a bit like Viagra. But anyway, it's not the point. The point being is, for efficient the cycle to occur, if you don't let your, so it's called hyperamino acidemia, your amino acids in your blood super high, if you don't let them go back down, you can't stimulate them again. So it's difficult if I can't draw it for you, but you can keep amino acids high in the blood all the time by infusing them, right? They stay up all the time. But muscle protein synthesis goes back up, goes up and comes down and stays down, and doesn't, you can't get it back up again. Your amino acids need to fall, and then you get this, you basically hit what's called the leucine threshold, and then you are building muscle, repairing muscle. Muscle protein synthesis goes back up, fractional synthetic rate it's called when it's measured in lots of studies. You might see that FSR. So this idea of tablets between meals, again, you know, if you, you know, BCAA tablets, even if you're thinking, oh well, I consume a meal every 3 hours, every 1.5 hours in between I'm going to consume essential amino acids, it still doesn't sit in line with what I've just discussed, with this cycling of stimulation, muscle protein goes up, refractory period, and then it goes again, which that the refractory period will be different probably for different people. It might be that it's different between beginning and advanced lifters. Don't know. We don't have that data yet. But realistically, anything from, you know, roughly 3 to 4 hours, roughly. So it fits in line with this idea of, consuming roughly 4 to 5 to 6 meals a day, roughly, which kind of, you know, bodybuilders have been doing since the dawn of time. But unfortunately, things have almost got worse with the idea of trying to improve on that, with then taking amino acids all day long, sipping on BCAAs all day long. It might not be a good idea. Okie dokie, right. I think that's really everything I need to discuss here. The way that you'll get misled is the idea that when I take BCAA supplements, I get this anabolic effect, this signaling. Which is, I think I said this earlier, that where the myth has really come from, and, you know, comparing BCAAs to water, well, you are providing some amino acids versus nothing, something's going to be different. But comparing it against real life situations of whey protein or a meal, soy protein, chicken, whatever, you take the BCAAs and you it's like giving those orders. Initiation factor activity goes up. So the things in the body, these pathways, people have heard of the mTOR pathway, they get switched on, but then nothing can happen. There's no happy ending. It's just you get switched on and there's nothing that then actually comes after that. So don't get misled by that when people, you know, because you might send this to a friend, you might use this and be talking about it in the gym to someone and they're just so confident in their knowledge. No, because look at this study. BCAAs leads to activation of the mTOR pathway, but the analogy holds true that if you don't have all the essential amino acids or just a complete protein, you don't get the end result of building muscle protein synthesis. There's no evidence of supplementing with BCAAs alone leading to the accretion of new muscle mass or whatever. Okay, cool. So I'm just going to super quickly talk about... I did actually write a quote down somewhere, see if I can find it. Now, I'll link you to all the papers, so if you're really that interested, you can go find them. Okay, cool. So, final little bit, possible benefits. The big one that you hear discussed is DOMS. Branched chain amino acids and DOMS. Now, the problem is DOMS are not a good proxy necessarily for an end result, i.e. oh, I've got less DOMS, so I've recovered quicker, so therefore XYZ, DOMS being delayed onset muscle soreness, you know, the achy feeling you get after exercise, exhaustive exercise, hard exercise, or novel exercise. Now, the problem is we also have other situations where we've seen this play out before. Supplementation with high doses of antioxidants, for instance. Oh, we've managed to reduce inflammation. Oh, that's really cool. But we can actually blunt the adaptations to exercise by doing these things. So you train, probably, to get better. The problem is sometimes if you take away some of the... So, for instance, inflammation in one of these instances, being a bit of a signal to the body to repair, adapt, get better, you're actually undermining the process. So people discuss this with regards to having ice baths after training, for instance, high-dose supplementation. Now, with antioxidants, we've got the same possible situation with branched-chain amino acids. Now, I've not seen this studied ever, but there's no, you know, you're not building more muscle. It's just a case of, and it does seem to be consistent. Maybe I'll link you to a meta-analysis or two that have discussed this, and it does seem to be consistent that supplementing with branched-chain amino acids in some way leads to the reduction of pain from DOMS. Now, I'll link that also to the fact that supplementation during hard endurance exercise doesn't really seem to benefit performance, but performance trials are notoriously difficult to do. But it does seem to reduce the production of or the appearance of certain what we might call fatiguing factors or byproducts of fatigue, or so things like creatine kinase, things like lactate. So it seems like, and what I want to say with this is, if someone's doing the Tour de France or something like that, you know, an Ironman, Kona, is that an Ironman? It might be that there's an argument that taking branched-chain amino acids, because during, you know, intense endurance exercise, the oxidation of the branched-chain amino acids does go up. So you may be just, and you're not doing the Tour de France to get fitter, to train. That's your, you know, your peak. If you're doing the race across America, you know, something, you know, maybe even trekking to the to a pole or some North Pole or whatever, there might be some argument for going, you know, it'll help you to keep going on these crazy feats of endurance. That's the one instance where I would be less inclined to argue against their use. Now, for most of us, and where most of the money in the supplement industry is going, it's not for that. It's for, it'll help you build muscle, it'll help you get fitter, it'll help you whatever. So DOMS, yeah, muscle damage, yeah, maybe. But remembering that some level of muscle damage is normal through training and the adaptation to that muscle damage. And then finally, the other situations that may be beneficial. Now, so lots and lots of questions came in about vegan proteins. Now, if you use whey protein versus soy protein, if you match the leucine content of those two, so you take a little bit extra, you know, 20 grams of whey versus 25, 26, whatever grams of soy protein, the anabolic response to that is seemingly the same. So, you know, if you're consuming vegan protein, you might just need to consume a little bit more. If someone's a supplement maker, supplier, distributor, creator, maybe, and they want to keep their serving size the same, they might consider supplementing individually with leucine or BCAAs or EAAs. Maybe. The problem is amino acids, free-form amino acids, taste like ass. Like bad ass. Like not the kind you want to eat. Like horrible. They're horrible. Really are. I don't, you know, that's why anything that contains free-form amino acids has to be, you know, like the flavoring is like super sour, citric, fruits flavor. And because it's trying to make it sound like, oh no, this is what it's supposed to taste like. It's not, you're not actually drinking battery acid here. Anyway, amino acids, free-form amino acids do taste yuck. So anyway, that's something to bear in mind. Another reason not to take them. And that's when they're in powder. Obviously, if they're capsulated or whatever, you don't taste them. So with vegans and this situation of vegans, now, it's tricky because if you then go towards a really, really incomplete source of protein that isn't, that is really low in certain essential amino acids, and you just supplement with BCAAs, not the EAAs, like supplementing with essential amino acids on top of other stuff, it does undermine or it does stop lots of the negatives of just supplementing with BCAAs alone. So and now that essential amino acids are so freely available as a supplement, I just see no place in the market for BCAAs ever again. Really, it should just die out. And then we can have the discussion of EAAs and if they are going to be beneficial. Again, realistically, not so much. But fast forward to situations of maybe the elderly, where we need much more leucine because of something called anabolic resistance, which I won't go into too much, but as people get to, you know, even probably as young as 40, but realistically 50, 60 plus, we get this anabolic resistance, which means the amount of leucine, or, you know, protein, or probably specifically leucine, we need to get this muscle protein response stimulated to the maximum amount is much higher. And so I spoke earlier about 0.03. It's maybe goes up to like anywhere from 0.04 to 0.06, depending on the degree of anabolic resistance. So you have a 60 kilogram, 70 kilogram elderly individual, and you need 4.2 grams of leucine all of a sudden, using the absolute upper limit of the range I just gave there. So 0.06 times 70. Hopefully my maths is not failing me. And so you have this situation. Then you've got the impact of maybe reduced appetite. And we know how beneficial protein can be in the elderly, with things like sarcopenia, so muscle wastage, and just supporting the immune system when maybe energy intakes are low, supporting bone health as well. And lots of people talking about, protein's bad for bones, when realistically, actually, protein is very good for bone health long term. Another little bit of myth busting there for you. So there's studies where they've basically given really, really small amount of whey protein, like 6 grams. So like a quarter of a scoop. But then they have given, I can't think what it is, but I think it was added branched chain amino acids. So they added maybe like 5 grams of branched chain amino acids. And that gave the same response as consuming 25 grams of whey alone. Now, the outcome then of the protein accretion, you're still going to be limited. If that's in the post-absorptive state, you're still going to be limited by the fact that you only gave a small amount in total of the essential amino acids. So really, I still don't like the idea of the branched chain amino acids being used in that point, in that situation. I would again be going towards essential amino acids if that was the case. But it's a much more complicated, complex discussion. You know, in this day and age where you've got whey protein isolates, whey protein hydrolyzates, which dissolve really, really well in water, almost to the point of, and you know, again, hydrolyzates are very bitter, but very, very clear. It can be just like drinking a glass of orange juice, orange squash, whatever, for a fairly decent dose of protein. So anyway, there's discussions around that. And I think that's everything really I wanted to discuss here. So hopefully I've kind of just, once and for all, you don't ever need to waste money on branched chain amino acids. And also, if you knew they weren't any good, but you were maybe buying them or using them or kind of randomly supplementing with them because they'd been given to you or they were free, it gives you a chance to go, maybe this isn't a good idea for me. But you will have to, you know, remembering that I'm talking about post-absorptive states here. So, you know, if you've had a huge meal, and so you're still going to have a lot of amino acids floating around 1, 2, maybe even 3 hours later from that meal being digested. And yeah, you can come up with all sorts of crazy scenarios. You're stuck, you can't eat again for another 12 hours. And so, but you've just happened to have 5 grams of BCAAs in your pocket, you know. Look, Martin, would it then be useful? Like, oh my goodness, what a bizarre, mythical situation you've just created. Just don't worry about it on that one occasion. Worry about why you're stranded. Go build a boat. Okay, cool. Right, I hope you've enjoyed that. No idea how long I've gone on. And I will see you soon again for some episodes. I think I am going to do some episodes on MNU, answering some questions. And then we've got these metabolism episodes coming up that I've started planning, getting the team to do a bit of brainstorming on as well, in terms of what you guys might want to know. Right, until next time, much love.